Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome, 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 welcome to another exciting episode of Ye Olde Nakedy Englishy Man, who is fully dressed and just opening his curtains at 7 o'clock this morning on a Tuesday. Must be the 26th, I think. Is it the 26th? Something like that. It is a, well, looks like a sunny morning so far, although there is some cloud in the sky. I am putting on my slips, my little slippers this morning. I am going to switch off and switch on again ye olde internet, because I accidentally left it on last night. But we've had such appalling internet yesterday when we came back. Goodness knows what's going on with the servers. Julia also had a bad internet at her place. Actually, it's already on, I've got two modems, my old one and a relatively newer one. I swapped them over yesterday because I thought, I wonder if it's the sodding modem that's not working, you know, the sodding one. But it turns out it wasn't the sodding one, it was BT. But everything is connected to the slightly newer modem, I didn't want to have to put new passwords in every time I logged in, you see. So I'm just swapping those wires back to the other one, which I think is faster. I don't know if it's any faster. Hang on, which one is the orange one? That goes upstairs. Just plugging in the wires. My system is all wired, you see. Safety. Apart from the ability to connect your phone, which of course is, there we go, that should come in. But it's handy having the spare modem in case one pops its clogs, so to speak. Anyway, that's all done, so hopefully the internet will go back on, and hopefully they've fixed it now. So it's back to normal. It was just tediously slow yesterday. And I had to send a file. We were away at, as you probably have ascertained now, at the Weekend Truther Festival. And I filmed one of the chaps there who asked me to do that. And then I wanted to send him the file. And it was a big file of 3 gig. And I couldn't send it. Well, I took a few attempts to get it, the internet, to hold its nerve long enough to get this file out. But anyway, managed to do that, so that was something. And but in the end, most of yesterday was tidying up and what have you, but I couldn't answer all the emails that had come in because of the lack of whatever, you know, the internet. So that was that. Anyway, and today I have got up at 6 and I've just had a nice shave because I was a little bit ragged. Because when you're away, of course, one of the things is if you, like me, are a little antiquated, we have a wood-burning stove. And so I didn't light the Essie until about 4 o'clock yesterday to heat up the water tanks, as well as to cook on. But I didn't cook on till a little bit later, but I wanted to heat up the water so that not only could I have a bath later on that evening, I could wash up, but also I could shave, which I've done this morning, in fact. So that was a handy thing to do. But the van has been tidied up a bit. Oh, I'm so pleased that we don't have any more long journeys to do until next month. And then we just got to go to Scotland. So we've got to go back up the M6 for that one for a while. And then that's it. I am told that the proofreader copy of the Biggleswick book is on its way to me. It could arrive today. I shall then get it to the proofreader and hopefully they will get through it quickly and then I can order the books. I do need to email the printers and say, what is the deadline for a print run before November, really, I suppose, October, November, what would be the time scale, because I want to get the book out for Christmas so people can get a copy. It would be the perfect time. So I want to try and make sure that that is going to happen. And I can't do very much more than what I've done until the proofreader copy comes back and the corrections are made. But that will be rapid, and then the book will be printed and out it goes. And hopefully that will be all the errors sorted, and then we can get them out. So that's a very important part of it. What else can I tell you? Well, I mean, I'm sort of in that limbo stage with the book, reliant on other people all the time. That's, one of those parts of it, isn't it, really, I guess. Julia and I are still in the waiting for the solicitors and stuff to finish their task to purchase this land, even though we can access the land. But, I can't claim it to be mine yet. Until the deeds have come through. And of course, these are just titles. They're just the title deeds, as we all know. Nobody owns anything anyway, so we're just waiting. Really, it's to help the guy who's selling the land to feel that he has sold it. Well, he's just selling me, really, the title to the land. He can't sell the land itself, of course, because he doesn't own it. Nobody owns it, so... even though the Crown might say they own it, but of course they only own the title to it. And that's all you buy, isn't it? You buy and sell the title. It was interesting. Somebody was asking Clive Edwards at the Weekend Truth Festival. He said, I've heard all this, but what about an allodial title? That supposedly gives somebody the carte blanche to not have to adhere to the council. We hear of this term, the allodial title. But as Clive so succinctly said, the clue is in the name, isn't it? And the lordial title, it's still a title. And I suppose title is what? Short for entitlement, is it? It's the entitlement of what you are allowed to do. Well, that in itself gives you a hint, isn't it? Well, who is giving you the permission to allow you to do anything? And where do they get their authority from? They can only get their authority from you. Where else could it come from in their system? If you take out the creator of everything, then how does anybody have any power over you other than getting you to consent? And that is the whole Acts and Statutes world. Of legislation, it's all consent. Yes, we'll consent to your rules and regulations and let you make those rules and regulations by joining your team and being a member of your team, member of the public, a member of the public, you see. A member, we will be a commoner, we will be a citizen, and we will get on the electoral roll to prove that we are in your system. That's how it works. Well, when you realise that that's just a club, it's just a club, and that those are the rules of the club, that the acts and statutes and everything else are just rules of the club, and you go, well, do I want to be a member of that club? Well, I mean, there are advantages and there are disadvantages. The advantages are, of course, you can have state education. You can have access to the National Health Service. You can have bank accounts. And you can have a bunch of people in London making rules and regulations for the benefit of your life. You can have pensions and so forth. They're the advantages. But look carefully at those advantages and see whether you want the school education to train you in a certain fashion, whether you want the National Health Service to poison you, whether you want a council to charge you money or to ask for payments to live in a box. And you might think that those advantages that have been thrown at us, like in the advertising, on the telly or newspaper or in social media or whatever, you might start to think that, that actually those advantages don't really have any advantage at all. They seem to be pushing people in one direction, and maybe they're a disadvantage. And so not being a member of the club has its advantages and disadvantages. The advantages of not being a member of the Acts and Statutes Club, if you like, would be that you don't have to adhere to their rules, for one thing. You just abide by the creator's rules, which is pretty much love thy neighbour, very simple, do no harm, cause no loss, you know, be a good boy, basically, or girl. And that's kind of really, you know, there's not much else needs to be done. And do as you would do to yourself or your children, to others, be kind. You know, it's very pleasant sort of place to be, really. Except that nobody, that you don't own anything, but that you can have access of it. So in other words, you can have access to the land, you don't own it, but you can have access to it, and you can build your house and farm, and as long as you're not annoying people, what's not to like? The disadvantages are, of course, that you can't send your children, your boys and girls, to the state schools. But you could set up your own school, your own home school. You could educate your children however you see fit. You didn't have to stick to a state education. You can set up your own health services, you know, one that's perhaps more holistic, if you wish, relying on old wisdom and knowledge from the past. And you could set up your own private banks, of course, if you want to. And you don't have to deal in fiat currency. You could deal in gold and silver or whatever you want. Seeds is a commodity that's going to be worth a lot soon. Seeds of good value, that is. Seeds that are heritage, and seeds that will not be GM or will produce plants that will also seed once they've grown to their fruition. So these are, you know, there are, it seems to be only really two clubs to be a member of. I mean, you've got to be in one. You either are under, you know, under the creator, or you under man's creation. Man's creation at the moment definitely seems to not favour man. Strange. Favours some men, but not all. Seems to be an illusion that that is the only way there is. And of course, there isn't. You just have to think logically about it. You just have to think, are Acts and Statutes an act of God? No, they're not. They've been made up, have they not? They've been made up and written by people. Is that the dustbin men? I mean, you'd have to think differently about your life, wouldn't you? Of course. You wouldn't necessarily have the dustbin men coming along if you weren't within the council bounds. But that's not necessarily a bad thing, because you could think about the rubbish that you have and think, well, maybe a lot of the rubbish, the packaging and all these other things, are not worth going down that line to have. I'd be a bit more frugal, perhaps, and not have so many trinkets that really... These trinkets supposedly are making you happy. Perhaps you don't really need to bother with going to work, that the work that you do could well be growing your own food. What is it that you go to work for? One has to ask these deep, they're not very deep questions, are they, at the end of the day? You go, what is it that I give half my life to these corporations for? Is it so that I can have a roof over my head and food? Is the most basics, and then some simple things like something to sit on and something to help occupy the time in between the work. Could be taken on holiday. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge, know what I mean? Anyway, there we are. Some thoughts, ladies and gentlemen, for the morning. I will press on and get things going this end. Have a lovely day, whatever you're doing, and I will talk to you soon.